Well, today, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the children that want to go back to class can go. Leave the cookies alone, please, until save some for the adults. It's wonderful to be in church today and have the freedom and the liberty to do this. And it's good to take advantage of that while we have it. But I want to read some verses in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 2. But there's a verse in Psalm 135, verse 13. It says, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." A memorial day. That's what makes this day so important to us. Jesus was anointed by Mary before obviously, before he died, she came aforehand to anoint him for the burial. And it was a picture of her faith in the resurrection. And Jesus said to her, what this woman has done, it'll be a memorial of the gospel from this generation forever. And there are times like that all through the scriptures and all through our lives. They're very, very special days that we want to remember. Some, they're sad days, but we still remember them. Somebody said some of those days are like roses in December. But Memorial Day is so important. Memory, remembering the good things, remembering what God has done is very, very powerful. We find in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the nation of Israel is out of Egyptian bondage. They've wandered in the wilderness. In the very next book of the Bible, Joshua, they go into the promised land. And this is some of the warnings that Moses is giving the people. Look with me at verse 2. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Go with me over to verse 10. He goes on and he says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end." Almost through. "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." It is so important to remember what God has done for us. Memorial Day is such an appropriate day to think of those things, as we think of those that gave their lives so that we could be here today. But let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, we love you. We so appreciate you. We do remember, Lord. We remember your kindness. We remember your sacrifice. And as we open the scriptures today, I pray that you would just guide us, speak to our hearts, minister to us, but help us to remember. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, great thing to do is to remember. Memorial Day, we remember the military that gave their lives so that we could be free. How soon we forget those things sometimes, and the focus is on something else. But there's a purpose in remembering. While I was musing, the fire burned. Think on these things, the things that are good and lovely and honest and of good report. So we think of those things and they do something for us. It's true that it's profitable to forget some things. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, but God tells us to do that the best we can. To forget means to let go from the memory. Seems like the older you get, you know, you more you think about the hereafter. You go to the garage and you say, "What am I hereafter?" And you know, you forget things, and it just it's easy to forget things. And there are some things that are very hard to forget too. In Psalm 103 and verse 12, and these are verses about God, not that he can't remember, but he intentionally forgets those things. And there's a real truth there. But Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Micah 7:19, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 38:17, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. As far as the east is from the west, the buried in the deepest sea behind his back, God is telling us that when we are forgiven, that's a blessing. We are forgiven. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, God says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. That is a blessing. Amen? In verse 34 of Jeremiah 31, I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. I'm just laying a foundation here. There are a number of verses like this. Hebrews 8:12, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That is good news. Amen? That is what we want from God. We don't want him to have that hanging over our head all the time. We want to know that we're forgiven because there's a peace and there's a joy that comes in that. Psalm 25:7, the psalmist said to God, remember not the sins of my youth. Boy, thank God for that he does remember that. He doesn't remember the sins of our youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. 79:8, O remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. And so God, by promising us that he is not going to hold that against us or remember it, brings peace to our heart because we are forgiven. We are on the same page as God is. God forgets, but it's hard for us to forget. There were two men and they were talking, and the one man said to the other, he said, my wife is historical. And he says, don't you mean hysterical? And he said, no, she's historical. She's always bringing up the past. And sometimes something in the past, it just won't be forgiven. It just, people don't forgive that, and it causes a real issue. God forgives. Amen? God is a merciful, merciful God. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, the Apostle Paul said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting those things which are behind. What he used to count as gain, maybe his own sins and his own failures, maybe the hardships of the past, but he's pressing forward. And he's able to do that with God's help because that's what God does. Amen? God is so forgiving, and then he has a new door open for us. Alan Redpath wrote this, it's Satan's delight to tell me that once he's got me, he will keep me. But at that moment, I can go back to God, and I know that I confess my sins. God is faithful and just to forgive my sins. One day, for the believer, we're going to a place called heaven. Amen? No more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, and no more bad memory. There's going to be things that we don't have to think about anymore. That is going to be a real blessing for us. But the one thing we should remember, this day is so important. Memorial Day, and so we do remember those that sacrificed. There's a real power in memory. You ever find this out, that when you're thinking about something negative, you kind of negative yourself? You know, you get negative. When you're thinking something positive, refreshing, exciting, that God puts in your mind, it lifts your spirits. Amen? And so we are to encourage one another in the Lord, because that's what that does, the power of memory. In Jeremiah 2:32, my people have forgotten me days without number. How can we forget God? Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bob Jones Sr. said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Where does the gratitude come from? Well, maybe it's not coming from today. Maybe there's nothing coming in today, although he daily loads us with benefits. But maybe it's a difficult day. Maybe it's a great trial. Maybe it's all kinds of tribulation, and there's no one around to encourage us. That's where our memory can really help us. Amen? So we remember the Lord. We remember his goodness. We'll look at some verses about that in just a minute. To remember those who gave their life to fill, so that you could have a life, fills your heart with gratitude. Memorial Day has come to mean the beginning of summer, a time for picnics and barbecues, and a holiday to gather around the family. And we appreciate you campers coming here today. That's a real testimony. It's a testimony to our church. It's a testimony to your families that you chose to be in church. Enjoy the campground. Amen. We pray that you have a nice sunny day. That's a lie. We didn't do that. But we're glad that you're having a nice sunny day and you're going to enjoy your time camping. But thank you for being in the house of God. That's a real testament for the Lord. That happiness and freedom, however, is the product of the real cause for the holiday. The sacrifice made by men and women who have fought and died for the freedoms and liberties Americans hold dear. Memorial Day is a time to remember that the American way of life is not cheap, but rather has been purchased by the lives and blood of so many who have sacrificed for us so that we could live free and happily. We enjoy our lives today because of those who gave their lives in the past for us. Today we remember somebody else who sacrificed for us. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and that's what that is all about. Today is Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so this is a day that we remember his sacrifice for us. Because of that sacrifice, any sacrifice produces a blessing somewhere. Amen? And we have that blessing of freedom. But 1 Timothy 6:17, the spiritual blessings because of the sacrifice of our Lord and the sacrifice of godly men and women, boys and girls, down through the years. The living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. These are the results of the sacrifice of our Lord. We have that. We remember 1 Corinthians 11:24, this do in remembrance. That's the Lord's Supper. All the way through the scripture, God wants us to remember that sacrifice. That's why the Jews back in the Old Testament had all of those feasts and had all of those altars and sacrifices. Turn with me to Psalm 77. Psalm 77 reads a few verses there. Psalm 77. And let's begin reading here in verse 1. Psalm 77, verse 1. Again, there's a lot to be thankful for today. And again, you visitors with us, you're thankful today that I'm going to preach for 3 hours. That's a wonderful thing to be thankful for. Amen. Verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. You ever have one of those days? My sore ran in the night and ceased not my soul, and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God. I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. We're in a difficult place. We're in a trial. There's tribulation. There's suffering. There's heartache. Sometimes we have to have that memory to go back and think about those songs in the night. Think about how God was there with us, how he ministered to us and helped us. And he will again do that. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. What has God done for you? We could be here all day. Amen. What is your story? And some stories seem to be more exciting than others, but not for that individual. For that individual, when God has met their need or God has been there, God has helped them, God has led them, God has encouraged them, that's a golden memory. That's something that they hang on to. I have a lot of those. I'm sure you do too. And some are more precious than others. But we remember God. Every believer has a story. We have a story of our salvation, obviously. Wonderful day. Amen. Mine was kneeling down in my living room beside my purple velour couch. Kind of dates me. Amen. And it was a long time ago. And asking God to forgive me and be my Savior. And that was a wonderful day for me. That started my Christian life. I was born again. Amen. You have a story. Maybe you got saved driving in a car and, you know, you called out to God. Whatever it was, that was a wonderful day. But since that day, my, the abundant life, all the blessings of God. And we kind of keep a file of those things. We have that story. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Well, that's Old Testament. That's the book of Isaiah. He says the same thing in the New Testament. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am thy God. I will help thee. Amen? And he talks about his right hand. Every believer has experienced this. If you've been saved any length of time, God has always come and he's always offered his hand to help us. You remember when he helped you? Do you remember when he held you up? Do you remember when he opened a door? Do you remember when he comforted? I mean, so many things. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee in the book of Hebrews. Psalm 73:2, David is looking at someone who has no problems in their life and they're very wealthy and it seems like they have no troubles. And he envies them. And he's so taken with that. But he says in verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God and understood I their end and my end. He uses the language, my feet had well nigh slipped. You know, if you're walking and it's cold and there's ice, it's good to have somebody's hand. Amen. They can keep you. When you start to go down, they're there for you. What better hand than God's hand? And that's what David is referring to there. We have Psalm 18:36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. The previous verse is, thy gentleness hath made me great. He's such a good God. He's so long-suffering and merciful and kind. Amen? And he's always there. He is always there. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. Who's helping him rise up? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that for us. Take my hand. And when you don't take his hand, there's a story back in the book of Genesis how the angels came to Lot and tried to get him out of the city that they were going to destroy. And he wouldn't go. He tarried. Let me just read the verse. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, now that is a strange thing to do when judgment is coming on the city. It says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, And they brought him forth and set him without the city. When sometimes we don't take his hand, he takes ours. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing because God is being merciful to us. Sometimes it is against our will or we're dragging our feet, so to speak. And God kind of hurries us up and helps us out of that place of danger. He's a good God. He always does the best for us. Psalm 17 and verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. You have Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So God gives us his word, the comfort of the scripture. He guides us with that. You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. All of the verses about the word of God and how precious it is and how it helps us and how it encourages us. The devil's always, excuse me, whispering in your ear. Man, are you even saved? You know, why are you thinking about that? Why are you living like that? Why don't you do this and why this? And he's always whispering. And God's always speaking to us through his word. Amen. He loves us. He's forgiven. Let's do this. Well, maybe we shouldn't do this. But if you think about some things where you failed in the past, some things that you wish you could undo, and we can't, and you look back and you get discouraged, boy, man, look what I said, look what I did, and you go back there, do this, because you've probably done this, but you just don't remember doing it. But at that time, you received God's forgiveness. You received his kindness. You received the providence of God in your life that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You believed, like Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you're able to come out of that when you see the plan of God and the mercy of God and the kindness of God. Amen? And it helps you to recover. It helps you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you remember your weakness and your trials and your failings, boy, that's a bad place to stay. Amen. But if that, like in Deuteronomy, if that humbles you and leads you to the rock that is higher than you and to that wonderful forgiveness of Almighty God, then it just erases all of that heartache. It's a blessing. In Numbers chapter 11, the nation has been delivered from Egyptian bondage. Egypt was called the iron furnace. It was a good time in Egypt. Man, they had a party in Egypt. No, it was very, very difficult in Egypt. They were under cruel taskmasters. They were beaten. All kinds of things happened to them. And so now they're out of Egypt, and they're complaining to Moses because all they have to eat is manna. What was manna? Manna was a miracle from God. Jesus referred to it in John chapter 6. They ate the manna in the Old Testament. He said, I am the true bread which came down from heaven. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's a picture of God's word. We have the Bible today. It's a miracle. Amen? It's an absolute miracle to have the word of God. It's where God speaks to us. But here they are, and it says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Really? How could they make such a statement? Because they got tired of the manna. And the manna wasn't the miracle anymore to them. The manna was just something. And so they cried out for meat for their lusts. And God gave it to them, the quail, till it came out their nostrils. And sometimes what we think we want, that's not what we want. But God always knows. You have in Psalm 137 and verse 1, this is when Israel was in Babylonian captivity. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. So they are in captivity, weeping. The others were out of captivity, weeping. But Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Sometimes we're on top of the mountain, sometimes we're in the valley, but God is the God of the mountain, he's the God of the valley. He's always there. Amen? And we can find some purpose, we can find some goodness wherever God puts us and whatever he requires. In Luke chapter 24, the women come to the tomb. Jesus had been crucified and now he's resurrected. And he's not there. In verse 6, the Bible says that the angel says, "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Same text, same story. Matthew 28:6. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see where the Lord was laid." And so God, Jesus said he would raise from the grave. They didn't understand it, but now they see it. There's so much in the Bible to encourage us in these days. Sometimes you hear, "Oh, woe is me, look at our country, look at the world, look at what's happening." But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Remember the words that I spake unto you," Jesus said in John 15. Looking for the great God and the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to happen one day. Amen? Because he said so. So what's our circumstance today? It's real good. You're going back to the campground. You got a steak to throw on. Amen? You got some strawberry shortcake and whipped cream. Yep. All that kind of stuff. Nice cold Coke, wash it all down, you know, there you are. Just no work, no worries, just a great time. And others are going back today to cut your grass. Or maybe you got the honey-do list or whatever it is, you know. And the days are different. Some of you today, so close to the Lord, some may be distant. Some so encouraged, maybe some discouraged. God's the God of the mountain and the valley. And what he said in his word was meant to be remembered. That's why we hide it in our heart, so that when we need it, we're able to remember it. And that's where the help comes. Remember your past, your salvation. We were born into the family of God. Back in Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says this, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." That's an important thing. The nation of Israel was still in Egyptian bondage. This was the last plague. This was the death of the firstborn. And they were to remember that day, because when the blood of the lamb was applied to the doorposts and over the top of the door, when the death angel passed by, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." In Corinthians, even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So that month became the first month of the year. It was a new beginning. You find that in Exodus chapter 12. And he said, "This day shall be a memorial." Don't ever forget this day. And so the nation of Israel remembered that feast all the way through the Passover, and still do today, because that was the beginning for them. That was their freedom from Egyptian bondage. We can make the application. God says, "This day is a memorial for you. Go back to the day you were saved. Think about it today. Think about how it transpired. Think about what led up to it. But think about the very moment that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and how the burden was lifted and the promise was appropriated to you, that all of your sins were forgiven and now you have a home in heaven." That has to transform somebody. And then as you begin to walk, I remember when my wife and I started to go to church, everything was new. Everything. We had never heard this before or never heard that before. And we'd go home and talk about it. We were so excited. Amen? That should never get old. We're saved. We're new creatures in Christ. Amen? Remember your past. Remember your present. Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." What's your story? I talked, and you... many of you won't know who I'm talking about, but some of you will. Brother Ken, I spoke with him, and 82, going through cancer and all of that, and we talked for a long time. And he said, "You know, I just want to be a good testimony of Jesus Christ, and for my family and for my friends." And he is, amen. And he's really going through a great, great trial, but God is helping him. in the midst of that trial. In the midst of the storm, he can say, "Peace be still," to your heart. Amen. Some circumstances never change, but he's always there to help us. Remember your present and remember your future. And the future is one day absent from the body, present with the Lord. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Amen. We'll be with the Lord forever and forever and forever. All of the scriptures, he says, remember what I spoke unto you, John 15. Remember. And as we remember, it transforms us. Remember those who died for your freedoms. Remember those who paid the ultimate price so that we could be here today, so that you could live your life, so that you can raise your children in a free nation. Amen? That is a real, real blessing. But also remember the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he's done for us, all that he's accomplished. Sometimes a spiritual truth is hard to grasp because we can't see it, we can't touch it. You know, it's deep. It's just deep. God, I mean, he's everywhere, but he's personal. Christ in you, the Spirit guiding you. Sometimes it's hard to grasp all of that. A place called heaven, well, I don't know how to describe it other than it's a real good place. Amen. You know, and there's all different kinds of ideas of what it's going to be like. But I know this. All my sins are forgiven. I have help and strength today through the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, I'm going to live with him forever. Remember that. Remember those words. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, it's so easy. So easy, and it's so wonderful. Jesus said, he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. He came to die for our sins on a cross. He's truly the Son of God and God the Son. The Bible says that we're all sinners, so we all need a Savior. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, excuse me, just ask him now. Ask him to forgive all of your sins. Tell him you believe he's God, and ask him to give you a home in heaven when you die. And he'll answer that prayer. He so delights in it. If you're here today in great trial, trouble, ask God for help. He's a very present help. Remember what he did in the past, songs of deliverance. Go back in your mind. But may this be a day of remembering. And there are some wonderful, wonderful memories. Father, thank you for your word. Please, bring to our minds today your goodness, your kindness, your mercies. May we believe what you say. May we trust you. And may we remember those who paid for our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.